We're going to be looking at the seventh chapter of, seventh chapter of Deuteronomy today. And what I'd like to do is just read through portions of that scripture and then make some comments about it. What I'd like for you to do when you're listening to this reading of this scripture, I want you to think about the gospel of universal atonement as I read through this. What is the gospel of universal atonement? The gospel of universal atonement is that Jesus Christ made it possible that all men would be saved. And the only thing is, with that gospel, it says that if a person rejects the gospel, which means that God made it possible for all men to be saved, that it's their own fault, okay, if they reject the gospel. Now, we know that men are without excuse before God, okay, because of two reasons. One, they're born and conceived in sin, and two, because of their actual sins, God holds them accountable, and they die in their sins, okay? But that's a partial truth. It's a partial truth because, first of all, God did not make it possible for all men to be saved. He did not make it possible for all men to be saved. And we see this all the way through the Old Testament. God made it absolutely necessary that His Son would come and die and give His life a ransom for many. And He made it absolutely certain that all for whom He died for would be saved. He said, "All that the Father hath given me will come to me." So, I want to just listen as I read the seventh chapter of Deuteronomy, and then I want you to tell me, when I get through reading the seventh chapter of Deuteronomy, if Jesus, I want to see if you still uphold the doctrine of universal atonement after me reading this passage of Scripture to you. "When the Lord thy God shall bring thee into the land whither thou goest to prepare it, and hath cast out many nations before thee, the Hittites, and the Girgashites, and the Amorites, and the Canaanites, and the Perizzites, and the Hivites, and the Jebusites, seven nations greater and mightier than thou. And when the Lord thy God shall deliver them before thee, thou shalt smite them and utterly destroy them. Thou shalt make no covenant with them, nor show mercy unto them. Neither shalt thou make marriages with them. Thy daughter shall not give unto his son, nor his son shalt thou take unto thy son. For they will turn away thy son from following me, that they may serve other gods. So will the anger of the Lord be kindled against you, and destroy thee suddenly. But thus shall ye deal with them. Ye shall destroy their altars, break down their images, cut down their groves, and burn their graven images with fire. For thou art an holy people unto the Lord thy God. The Lord thy God hath chosen thee to be a special people unto himself above all people that are upon the face of the earth. The Lord did not set his love upon you, nor choose you, because you were more in number than any people, for ye were the fewest of all people. But because the Lord loved you, and because he would keep the oath which he has sworn unto your fathers, hath the Lord brought you out with a mighty hand, and redeemed you out of the house of bondmen from the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. Know therefore that the Lord thy God, he is God, the faithful God, which keepeth covenant and mercy with them that love him and keep his commandments to 1,000 generations. And he repayeth them that hate him to their face to destroy them. He will not be slack to him that hateth him. He will repay him to his face. Thou shalt therefore keep the commandments and the statutes and the judgments which I command thee this day to do them. Wherefore it shall come to pass, if ye hearken to these judgments, and keep and do them, that the Lord thy God shall keep unto thee the covenant and the mercy which he sware unto thy fathers. And he will love thee, and bless thee, and multiply thee. He will bless also the fruit of thy womb, the fruit of thy land, thy corn, thy wine, thy oil, thy increase of kine, the flocks of thy sheep, and the land which he sware unto the fathers to give thee. Thou shalt be blessed above all people. There shall not be a male or female barren among you or among your cattle. And the Lord will take away from thee all sickness, and will put none of the evil diseases of Egypt which thou knewest upon thee, but will lay upon them upon all them that hate thee. And thou shalt consume all the people which the Lord thy God shall deliver thee. Thine eyes shall have no pity upon them, neither shalt thou serve their gods, for that will be a snare unto thee. If thou shalt say in thy heart, these nations are more than I, how can I dispossess them? Thou shalt not be afraid of them, but shall well remember that the Lord thy God, what the Lord thy God did unto Pharaoh and unto all Egypt, and the great temptations which thine eyes saw, and the signs and the wonders, and the mighty hand, and the stretched out arm whereby the Lord thy God brought thee out, so shall the Lord thy God do unto all the people of whom thou art afraid. Moreover, the Lord thy God will send a hornet among them, until they that are left, and hide themselves from thee, and be destroyed. Thou shalt not be affrighted at them, for the Lord thy God is among you, a mighty God and terrible. And the Lord thy God will put only those nations before thee by little, thou mayest not consume them at once, lest the beasts of the field increase upon thee. The Lord thy God shall deliver them unto thee, and shall destroy them with a mighty destruction, until they be destroyed. And he shall deliver their kings into thine hand, and thou shalt destroy their name from under heaven. There shall no man be able to stand before thee until thou have destroyed them. The graven images of their gods shall ye burn with fire. Thou shalt not desire the silver or gold that is on them, nor take it unto thee, lest thou be snared therein, for it is an abomination to the Lord thy God. Neither shalt thou bring an abomination into thine house, lest thou be a cursed thing like it, but thou shalt utterly destroy it, and thou shalt utterly abhor it, for it is a cursed thing. Now, my question is, of course, did Jesus Christ die for the Hittites, the Girgashites, the Amorites, the Canaanites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites? Did he die for them? It's an interesting thing if your answer is yes, okay? Because if he died for all of those nations that he told his people to destroy, I find that a very interesting way of him showing his love to those nations, if he died for them. Now, the next question I have is, why would God tell the Israelites to come out from among them and be separate and not intermarry with them, not have anything to do with them if they were his people? Why would he do that? If they were his sheep, why would he tell them to destroy him, and why would he tell them not to have anything to do with them? It's a fine way of showing Christian brotherly love, don't you say? And then also, why would he say, thou art a holy people unto the Lord thy God? The Lord thy God hath chosen thee to be a special people unto himself above all people that are upon the face of the earth. Why would God say that if he died for all of those people, the Hittites, the Girgashites, the Amorites, the Canaanites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites? Why would God say, thou art a holy people unto the Lord thy God? The Lord thy God hath chosen thee to be a special people unto himself above all people that are upon the face of the earth. By the way, that is true of all of God's sheep. That is applicable to all of God's sheep today. He is the one that has chosen us to be a special people unto himself above all the people that are upon the face of the earth. He says, because the Lord loved you, and because he would keep the oath which he had sworn unto your fathers. So if we are in God's family, if we are one of those that he chose before the fall, he chose us before the foundation of the world, and he also was slain before the foundation of the world. His covenant was with the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, that the remedy for his sheep would be that he would come and die upon a cruel old rugged cross. And he accomplished that. He did all that the Father had set him forth to do. But he did not come and die on the cross for the Hittites, the Girgashites, the Amorites, the Canaanites, the Perizzites, and the Hivites, and the Jebusites. Okay? Now there's some pretty solid proof there against the doctrine of universal atonement, against the Billy Graham doctrine, against all those that would teach that Jesus Christ made it possible that the Girgashites, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Canaanites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites might be saved if they would only accept him. Now, the other thing is, he told the Israelites here, he said, the Lord thy God will put out those nations before thee. You know, the Lord is going to separate the sheep from the goats. We see that in Revelation. On the left hand, the goats are going to be set over on the left hand. On the right hand, the sheep are going to be on the right hand. And he said, he shall deliver their kings into thine hand. Thou shalt destroy their name from under heaven. There shall no man be able to stand before thee until thou have destroyed them. Again, if these are elect children of God that Christ died for, why would God be telling us to destroy them? Okay, if God died for all of these people, why would he tell us in his word that he had told the Israelites to go forth and destroy all of these nations, and the fact that he was going to even destroy their kings? Okay. Now here's another point in this chapter. He says, the graven images of their God shall ye burn with fire. We should not be welcoming the Roman Catholic Church into the fellowship of the Christian community, or what we say is the Christian community. You know, what we should be doing is burning their graven images with fire. We shouldn't be bringing their abominations into the house of the Lord. Pictures of Jesus and the Passion of the Christ, all these churches promoting that movie. He says, because lest you be a cursed thing like it. He says, you should utterly detest those graven images and idols that the Catholic Church is promoting all over the world. Mariolatry, graven images, statues. There's a church up here where I live. It's a Catholic church, and they have a big, almost, I think it's marble or granite statue of Jesus Christ on the cross up in front of everybody. Thou shalt utterly detest it. Thou shalt utterly abhor it, for it is a cursed thing. So the point that I wanted to make is that, you know, when God tells these people to not have anything to do with all of these nations, those seven nations that I just mentioned, and they had a lot more people in them than Israel had. They were strong, strong nations. And God commanded them to go out and to abhor these nations and not make any covenant with them, not have any relationship with these people at all. Are we doing that today? Are we separating ourselves from those who would uphold the Roman Catholic Church? Are we separating ourselves from those who would uphold Pelagianism? Would uphold this lie that Jesus Christ died for every man on the face of the earth without exception? Are we holding to the doctrine of separation? Are we going into Rome? And are we taking part in their idolatry and their image worship and their graven images and their Passions of the Christ movie and all the everything that goes along with it? I think probably most churches had their little buses all made, went and bought pre-bought tickets, and then took everybody over to see the Passion of the Christ, just to go right along with this Mariolatry. That movie was nothing more than the worship of Mary, the edification of Mary as co-redemptorist with Christ. Jesus Christ did not die for those who are worshiping another god. We see all these nations had other gods. But he said to Israel, "Thou art a holy people unto the Lord thy God. The Lord thy God hath chosen thee to be a special people unto himself above all people that are upon the face of the earth. The Lord did not set his love upon you, nor choose you because you were more in number than any people, for you were the fewest of all people." That's Deuteronomy 7, verses 6 and 7, if you want to look those up. Well, let's fast forward this. Okay. Has things changed? Has God's modus operandi changed today? Can we still say today that we're a holy people and the Lord our God, the Lord God, has chosen us to be a special people unto himself above all people that are upon the face of the Lord? The Lord did not set his love upon us nor choose us because we were more in number than any people, for we were the fewest people on the earth. Why does Jesus Christ say in the New Testament that broad is the way that leads to destruction, and many there be that find it, and narrow is the way that leads to life eternal, and few there be that find it? He says that you cannot serve two masters. You're going to love the one and hate the other, or hate the one and love the other. You know, if we're a friend of the world, if we're communing and fellowshipping with those and say we're worshiping with those that are living in absolute contradiction to the Word of God, then that is not true worship. That is not true worship. You know, we need to purge out the leaven, and we need to realize that we cannot put up with those who are fornicators. We cannot put up with those that are mocking in the face of God. He says in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, "Purge out therefore the old leaven, that ye may be a new lump, as ye are unleavened, for even Christ our Passover is sacrificed for us. Therefore let us keep the feast, not with the old leaven, neither with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth." So, you know, one of the things that we've looked at in the Old Testament is that it was very apparent that Christ did not die for everybody in the Old Testament. So that right there blows out the doctrine of universal atonement. If Christ did not die for one person, then the doctrine of universal atonement falls on its face. If God did not die for every single soul in the universe, well, here's seven nations that he proclaimed for them to go and destroy. Okay, now we also know Now, most of the Old Testament shows us that God's people, by and large, not all, there were a few in there that were not Israelites. But by and large, his salvation in the Old Testament was to the Israelites. So that left out most of the rest of those people in the Old Testament. So that proves right there, that's why today people don't want to go back to the Old Testament. Because it dispels this absolute heretical doctrine of Pelagianism. It dispels the doctrine of Arminianism. It dispels the doctrine of free will. It dispels the doctrine that we just have a bent towards sin. It dispels the doctrine that a person can resist God's grace if they're one of God's sheep. And it also dispels the doctrine that a person can lose their salvation. It also dispels the doctrine that, again, like I said, that we're not totally depraved. So the doctrine of Arminianism basically says that, we are not totally depraved. We did not die in Adam. And that, God made it possible for all men to be saved, and that God's atonement is not limited to his sheep only. It's not particular redemption, but it's for everybody. And the doctrine also says that all you have to do is execute your free will, make a decision for Christ, and now you're one of God's sheep. And that if you don't, you can resist God's grace. And when you resist God's grace, that is why you lose your salvation. Well, Paul spent all the epistles speaking against and preaching against that heretical doctrine. I mean, all of his epistles are very strong at letting people know that God is the one that chose us in him before the fall, before the foundation of the world, before creation, before we had sinned, he chose us. Okay, not only did Paul went much further than that, Paul said in the 9th chapter of Romans, the children not being born, not having done any good or evil, that the purpose of God's election might stand, Jacob have I loved, and also, he said, Esau have I hated. So God chose before the fall who were going to be his sheep and who were going to be his goats. He made that decision, who were going to be. That's called a vessel of honor, a vessel created unto honor, and a vessel fitted for destruction. All in God's choice before the fall. Before Esau or Jacob had even sinned, had committed any sin, that the purpose of God, according to election, might stand. And our justification comes from imparted faith. The just shall live by faith. Where does faith come from? Faith comes from, James says that every good gift and every perfect gift cometh down from the Father of lights, which is no where there is no shadow or turning, variableness nor shadow of turning. Of his own will beget he us to be the first kind of first fruits. So if we are given a gift, if we are one of God's sheep, not everyone is given this gift of faith. Not everyone is given the gift of grace. Not everyone is ordained to eternal life. And that's just not being taught today. By and large, most churches out there teach a doctrine that the availability of the gospel, rather than the gospel that Christ taught, all that the Father had given me will come to me, rather than the gospel that the apostles taught, Paul taught, they all taught the doctrine of election, You know, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate. And those who he predestinated, he also called. And also those he called, he also justified. And those he justified, he also glorified. What shall we then say to these things? It is God that justifieth. It is Christ that died. Yea, rather seated at the right hand of God, who makes intercession for us. Okay, and so we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. It doesn't say we know that all things work together for good to them that love God without exception. Because first of all, not everybody loves God without exception. You know, some people absolutely hate God. And if you're a goat, you are not going to love God or His gospel. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Okay, so that's the point that we find in Deuteronomy, again, the seventh chapter this morning, that we find that the declaration is that God's goodness was to Israel. It wasn't to the whole world. God's goodness was particular. He's the one that brought them out of Egypt, and He's the one that said, you know, that He's cast all those nations out, the Hittites, the Girgashites, the Amorites, the Canaanites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites. Okay? And He makes a distinction between those people and His people. We need to make a distinction against those who are preaching the correct gospel, the correct doctrine of God, and those who are preaching a false gospel. We need to make it very crystal clear that anyone that gets up and says that Jesus Christ died for the sins of the whole world, and Jesus Christ died for every man, woman, boy, and girl in the earth, and the only thing is it's up to you. No, it's not up to you. It's up to God. If it's up to you, then you're your own redeemer. If it's up to you, then we don't need a Savior. If it's up to you, then Christ's death was in vain. If it's up to you, then you're God. You're your own little God. You're your own Redeemer. It's not up to you. Jesus paid it all. All to Him we owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. Jesus washed it white as snow. Father, we thank You for Your Word. We thank You that Your Word will not return unto You void, but it will accomplish that for which it was intended. Help us to understand in a new way Your particular love that You poured out upon Your sheep, and that this was a decision by You before the eons of history between the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And You chose out for Yourself a people for whom You would come and die for, and help us to proclaim it. Help us to go into all the world and proclaim the true gospel, not a false gospel. We ask this in Your name and for Your glory alone. Amen.